Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Andrew Marchand in a few moments from the New York Post. But first, our play-by-play call of the day. The Bucknell women's basketball team advances to the Patriot League semifinals.
Johnson on the left. Allie Johnson on the wing. Plays it into the corner. Abby Kaplan off a screen for three, swish. Bucknell cannot be stopped. They lead 9-0 with 8:03 left in the first, and a timeout taken by Dave McGarity. Schaefer ends up getting the loose ball back, play to Bridget Tobin for three. Bingo! How about Bridget Tobin's first three career points? And the place goes crazy. The bench erupts for the Bison. 85-56. How about that? And the final score is the Bucknell Bison 87 and the Army West Point Black Knights 61.
Joe Vasile with the call on the Bison Sports Network into the semifinals. Thursday they'll play at 6 in the Patriot League semifinals against Holy Cross. And it's a one-bid league, so they need to keep on winning. Well, we always like to bring on people that we think are the best in the business. And when it comes to being a sports media journalist, Andrew Marchand is one of the best, if not the best, in the business for the New York Post. First time he's been with us. Andrew, true pleasure. Great to have you with us. I think we lost him. Andrew?
Here I am. I said thanks for the nice introduction, and I really do appreciate it.
You earned it. Through your great work. All right, so let's talk about Al Michaels. ESPN has been trying to hit home runs and hit grand slams with Tony Romo and Al Michaels. There'll be no Oswald the Lucky Rabbit this time. That's going to happen because NBC probably didn't even take a voice vote. It's not going to happen. So what does this tell you about what ESPN's trying to do to remedy what is obviously a problem on Monday night?
Well, they're thinking big, which you have to give them credit for. I mean, first off, they were willing to offer Tony Romo a 10-year, $140 million contract to do Monday Night Football, and they never got the chance because CBS gave them $180 million over 10 years to call the games with Jim Nantz on Sunday afternoons. So their next step was to they're still trying to sign Peyton Manning for that job to be their main analyst on the games. They wanted to pair him with Al Michaels. At the moment, NBC is not even, you know, they're not going to talk about any sort of trade. Michaels has 2 years left on his contract, and so NBC would first have to give him permission. Al would have to want to do it. And then from there, there'd be compensation where you get the trade aspect of things. And so that's not happening. So they're trying. They're thinking big and outside the box, but thus far they haven't been able to remedy what they say is an issue.
Andrew, what's the read on Peyton Manning? Why has he, at this point, decided not to go into sports broadcasting as a commentator?
I think there's a few reasons. Number one is, you know, this is a different era than when guys like Terry Bradshaw got into broadcasting, where they made good money playing, but they didn't make the type of money that Peyton Manning earned as a player, where he made, you know, around a quarter of $1 billion. So they don't have he doesn't have a need to earn more money. So that's number one. Number two is, you know, Peyton's goal, from everyone you talk to around him, I haven't talked to him personally about this, but his goal has been to own a team or run a team, kind of like John Elway does in Denver. So going to the booth doesn't necessarily help that, you know, help his cause in that regard. And then number three, Eli Manning, his brother, has been playing in the league. Tom Brady's been a rival. I do think, especially with Eli, he had reservations about calling games that involved Eli, and maybe also just if you're analyzing other players who are going to play against Eli, that could cause issues for his brother. Now, Eli's retired, So perhaps that creates an opportunity for ESPN. But, of course, then you have to get to the dollar amount that makes it worth it for a guy who hasn't shown that he wants to do it. He's said no to every network thus far.
It's interesting you mentioned that about the money part. That is a key component because my broadcast partner when I do Penn State football is Jack Ham, Terry's teammate with the Steelers. You know, and I roundabout I know what about what Jack made because we've talked about it before. So that is a really good point. It is a different era. They're making so much money now that it's not a leap financially for guys today. It's in fact for except it's Tony Romo, it's a step back.
Exactly. And if you look at Bradshaw, I've never looked up his career earnings, but I'm sure it was, you know, significant. But still, like, if you want to, you know, if you want to live a certain lifestyle, you know, and Terry's case was he has a number of ex-wives as well, which you, yes. you know, perhaps goes into the equation. But the bottom line is that, yeah, the money is significant. And a guy like Terry, and here's the thing also for Peyton Manning. He's still doing commercials. And so another yes. thing that, you know, guys, in terms of monetarily speaking, that they want to be on TV is to continue to do commercials. You know, Peyton Manning's still present every Sunday all over the place, even though he's not playing and he's not in a booth. And, but if you look at other people who are doing commercials, there's a lot of, like, if you look at Terry, he's doing commercials. Howie Long, he was on that Fox pregame show with him, are doing commercials. Even Jay Glazer, who's just a reporter, is, you know, does Subway commercials and others. And so that forum kind of keeps your name in the news. And Peyton hasn't needed that, at least thus far. So I think if ESPN maybe offered him enough money, he'd do it because it's only 5 months a year and it's about 3 or 4 days a week. But I don't think his heart is fully into it.
You mentioned Tony Romo and the deal he made with CBS. And right now the CBA is being voted on. And we'll find out, you know, by midnight Saturday. At least that's when the voting ends. Which then brings to the TV contract negotiations. What does this tell you, should tell everybody about CBS's commitment to live sports that they made that kind of deal with Romo?
Well, that's why they did it. You see, the bigger issue is, you know, people see the $180 million, and obviously it's insane. But if you look at CBS Viacom, those are two companies that just merged. And network TV, it's been shown that you have to have the NFL to really survive, especially now with Netflix and all the streaming outlets. If you look going forward, what sells still on broadcast TV, and that's live sports. Out of the top 50 shows, nearly all of them are NFL games. So they, if you look at their company, that's lost a lot of market value. It was at $30 billion, and then yesterday after the run on the market, it was at $11 billion. They lost $19 billion in value. Their business is based on keeping the NFL. So, you know, they wanted to show the NFL that they are serious, number one. Number two is they have a Super Bowl at the end of this season, so mm-hmm. it's not really the year you want to have. You're not. You want your A team in that for that game, and so so those are the reasons where this was unique circumstances. This was mid cycle. Let's say the agreements were for 8 years, and we were in year four, and Tony Romo's contract was up. Yeah, ESPN would be a stalking horse there, but I don't know if the money would have gotten nearly as high. Because Troy Aikman was the previous highest paid current analyst at around $7.5 million when you include his travel budget that he receives. And so with those numbers, you know, and then Tony gets 18 when you include everything per year, when you include everything involved in his contract, it's just the reasoning is that because of the timing and CBS wanting to show the NFL it's serious. And the fact being that when they go to that table with the NFL, they want to have all their cards aligned as much as they can, and having Romo on their side, in their eyes, is an advantage.
And timing means everything in every phase of life, and it worked out perfectly for Romo. Now let's get to the CBA. If it were to pass, and we don't know if it will, but if it does pass, then the TV negotiations would be next. What, in your opinion, does the 17th game mean, in addition to the two playoff games, Andrew, when it comes to the negotiations TV-wise, and also what can it mean to streaming rights?
Well, number one, it's going to be more money, which is what this all is about. And I think you know, that's what the owners are saying to the players in terms of, well, we had this game, now we're going to be able to sell 17 more games per year, which is an extra week, and they can divvy it up maybe in a creative way as well. So it's going to be more money. That's number one. Number two is, so how do they divvy it up? I do think the traditional way that Sunday is presented, I would tend to doubt that's changed too much. You know, could they, you know, right now you have Fox and CBS and they have NBC at night on Sundays. Could they create a kind of late morning game at like 11 a.m. that's from, you know, from some of these off site? That's possible, for sure, but that cuts into the pregame shows. I don't know if the networks would necessarily want that, and I'm not sure that totally makes sense. But that's something they could do. Now, so they could be creative and we could see something switched up, but I don't think too much from what you see now with the Monday, Thursday, and then the resets of time slots on Sunday. And then you talk about streaming. So the one player that really could be involved, although I don't know if it will be as big a way as maybe some people might think, is Amazon. Netflix right. doesn't make sense. They're not advertising-based, and it doesn't make sense. For Amazon, it probably makes the most sense, but still, the numbers that are going to be paid to have like an exclusive package. You know, will these digital players get streaming, you know, on top of the broadcast? Yes. But if I'm talking about like Amazon getting an exclusive package, which I don't think they will do, but you know, Amazon's play is that they want people to sign up for Prime so they get the free shipping and then, you know, all the services that come along with Prime. I don't know if spending billions with the NFL really helps them to that degree. I think the next time around, then that's where I think Amazon could be even more serious. That said, they have a lot of money and you can't totally count them out. But streaming rights will gain a footing, but broadcast TV and cable TV still, no matter what everyone thinks of what's going on with television, that's where they're going to win the day, and that's where the most money is going to come in.
Right, and it's all about inventory. I mean, as somebody who broadcasts Big Ten football and basketball, there's 9 Big Ten football conference games a year. There's 20 Big Ten conference basketball games a year. Both are increased inventory because for the leagues, conferences, I mean, that's the name of the game. How much inventory can I offer you, which opens the door to more money? Is that a fair way to put it?
It's 100% fair. It's just, yes, it's like anything. If you were selling pizzas and you sold right. 16 pizzas, now you're selling 17, all right, well, you get another $15 for your pizza. So it's the same thing, and they're creating it. And the NFL also is incredible. They're the best, let's use the pizza analogy, of selling the fresh slice of pizza to one person and then selling it, you know, it half-eaten to another person. They love divvying up, you know, you get rights to the broadcast, you get rights to the digital, you know, you get replay rights. They love divvying these things up 100 times, and that's why they're the most lucrative league in our country.
Okay, you can have an event by South by Southwest, and you can postpone it. You can have a concert postpone it, or like the latest James Bond movie is being moved back to a release in November. Sports with coronavirus, you can have the intermediate step. Now, the Ivy League has said no, they're not going to have their tournament, but I also noticed they didn't tell Yale not to go to the NCAAs. But they can have the intermediate step, which means you can play the games without people in the stands, like the SEC tournament did after the tornado in 2008. How close are you monitoring what conferences and what the NCAA wants to do based on what's happening across the country or even not happening across the country?
Yeah, like, I'm monitoring like everyone else. I don't have, you know, there was a conference call today with CBS, which I was on, and you know, they talked about it, and they're going to wait to see what CBS and Turner, they'll go by what the NCAA decides for the tournament. But I do think, I mean, again, this is just speculation, this isn't first-hand reporting, but I mean, I think that's where we're going. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that as you see these things trickle in, that at least in the near term for the conferences, championships, I'd be pretty surprised at the moment if you're going to see many with fans in it. Now, it depends by region. Now, I shouldn't say like it would be blanket, because I do believe it's probably by region and what's going on in certain regions. But the more you read about it and you understand it, again, I'm no expert. This is from reading stories that I've read, is that, you know, the biggest thing that I think people should understand, so it's not necessarily, I mean, obviously you want to stop it, but you really want to slow it down. So let's use a basketball analogy. By not having fans in, it's like having four corners in a basketball game, and that slows it down. So number one, you know, you prevent the risk, or you lessen the risk of your hospital being overflowed if you have an epidemic in a certain area, number one. And then number two, you give more time to find remedies for people who are, you know, especially older people or people with, you know, health issues, you know, over that come before they were to get the coronavirus. So you get those things. So I think that's what we are seeing, and I think you're going to see more of that. You know, it becomes a wave of people being cautious. And again, the more you read about it, I've heard this term a number of times. An okay bad plan early is better than a good plan late for something like this.
Right. Which, I mean, because I'm leaving for Indianapolis tomorrow for the Big Ten tournament. And there's been no talk of that any change there yet. I would think the three regions you would look at for the NCAAs, because Penn State will be in the NCAAs as well. Yes. I'd look at Sacramento, Spokane, and Albany as three that I think maybe a decision has to be made on based on what's happened in those regions of the country.
No doubt about it. Yeah, I don't see in Washington State right now that you're going to have fans there. I find that highly unlikely. New York, the state, has the most coronavirus cases now, I think, of any state. So, and in New Rochelle, they're, you know, quarantining the town. So I'd be surprised. I just don't, like, if you want to stop this thing, having 20,000 people converging is not the best. It's disappointing for everybody involved, especially like these cancellations. You know, on a local level for high school sports, you know, in where I live in Connecticut, there are already been some cancellations of basketball, you know, the state basketball tournament, which people are very upset about, understandably. I don't really, you know, to me, it's why don't, you know, you just have the games without fans and parents. That seems to me a good solution that actually makes sense when you look at the science. But yeah, you're right. I don't think it'll be everywhere, but as we go forward, and depending on where things progress, I do think we're going to see more and more likelihood, and, you know, where there's games that are played without fans.
An absolute pleasure. It was great to have you on the show. You are truly one of the best in the business when it comes to sports media and journalism, and I appreciate the time you gave us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Best of luck with all your travels and everything.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Andrew Marchand joining us from the New York Post. Neil Coulong next half hour. He'll break down the Steelers free agency, or the lack thereof, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You want to talk about a person who was ultra prepared for this, and that's the suit. They said no large gatherings of any kind. He hasn't had a large gathering at his house in forever. He's in good shape. Now, that probably is a statement unto itself, maybe in other areas, but when it comes to this, he's way ahead of the curve. When it comes to the NCAA tournament, that's why I said that to Andrew. Those are the three locations you would look at. I don't think they would blanket the whole thing. But say they felt they needed, as this is especially based on state and local governments. State and local governments play a role in this. For example, the next San Jose Sharks game is March 19th. I believe, I may be wrong about this, but I think they're in Santa Clara County.
Yes, that is correct.
And Santa Clara County has declared no mass gatherings. Well, they don't have another home game till the 19th, so we'll see what the Sharks are going to do about playing the game. It's because of that I brought up Sacramento. it's because of what's happened in Washington State, even though it was Spokane is far removed from Seattle. I mean, Spokane is in the eastern half of the state. It's closer to Idaho than it is to the Pacific Ocean. But that could be a possibility. And then Governor Andrew Cuomo in New York has been very aggressive because of what's happened in Westchester County. Now, Albany is not near Westchester County, but I brought them up. But everywhere else, Greensboro, Tampa, St. Louis, Omaha, Cleveland, no, I can see that business as usual. The other places are the ones where, okay, let's see what they want to do. As of right now, they're all open for business. And I'll be in Indianapolis for the show tomorrow.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, KROs 11 and 15. And Hummel's Wharf. ACC basketball tournament is underway in New York, is underway in Greensboro. And Pitt leads Wake Forest 6-5 to open up there. Later at 5 o'clock, Manhattan against Fairfield in the MAC championship. St. Francis, just down the road here in Loretto, will take on Robert Morris for the Northeast Conference championship. UMBC and Vermont in the semifinals at 7. That is in the America East playoffs. North Carolina, Virginia Tech later at 7 in the ACC. And Illinois, Chicago against Northern Kentucky. Yes, the Norse has made it to the final in the Horizon League. And that automatic bid is on the line tonight. Each one will have fans at it. The Ivy League has canceled its tournament. I noticed, though, they didn't tell Yale not to go to the NCAAs. And Connecticut, Andrew mentioned, and I mentioned it actually before he did on the show, was that the Connecticut High School tournament was canceled. Again, sports has the ability. Now, the high school tournament's not televised, but you do have radio. Sports has the ability to take the intermediate step, and that is to play games with the stands empty. You can do that. The ambiance isn't great, but you can still do it. So the door is open. See, sports has the ability that other events don't have, and that's the televised and or radio component, or the combination of the two. Also today, and I didn't get into this with Andrew, I was running out of time, the NCAA tournament broadcast on TNT, TBS, True TV, and CBS will not contain any gambling information. And remember, Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium, and Madison Square Garden, New York, two of the growing number of states with legal sports books, will be hosting regionals. 16 states will be in the bookmaking business when the NCAA tournament tips off next week. Illinois and Michigan join that group today. That means by the time the tournament does kick into gear, 20 states, representing about 36% of the population, will have legalized sportsbook. Last year, $8.5 billion was wagered on the NCAA tournament last year. And that's without these states having sportsbook. It wasn't there a year ago. Now they've got it. And, of course, I'll be in Indianapolis tomorrow. The hotel I'm at is across the street from Lucas Oil Stadium, and on the other side of the hotel is Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Well, guess what? The nearest sports book is a 5-minute walk from my hotel and Bankers Life Fieldhouse. It's also a 7-minute cab ride from the NCAA headquarters. Some states, by the way, do protect. States such as Illinois, New Jersey, New York prohibit sportsbooks from accepting bets on games involving in-state schools. But Indiana, Pennsylvania and Nevada allow it. In fact, when Penn State went down to talk with the state legislature about it, they didn't want to hear it. All right. Let's talk about the Steelers for a moment. So, free agency is on the horizon, and how active will the Steelers be? What say you, Neil Coulon?
Yeah, that's the best part of my job. I don't need to worry so much about getting locked out of a basketball tournament or a hockey game or anything like that. It's purely just nerds going over nerd stuff this time of the year for the NFL.
Yes!
I like it that way.
Yes, these are your people. Your people. So he asked a great question, I thought, before we went on. Is there anything to be excited about free agency when it comes to the Steelers? And what say you?
No, probably not so much.
So it's going to be another
draft.
It's going to be another free agency for the Steelers. I mean, what about Brady? He's free.
Yeah, Brady's out there. We can sign Brady. You know, let's
see
Brady
the Steelers
in. Let's bring
Mariota
in. Let's bring Winston in. Let's just let them all try out and see who's going to back up Ben Roethlisberger.
Could you see them bringing Brady in just for a couple of yayas?
That would be something else. Let's put it that way. It would be a revolutionary deal in Pittsburgh. I have no idea what would happen, but I wouldn't want to be walking around South Street that night. I know that. People would go nuts if that happened. I mean, they take that personally. And if it's Ben coming back and Brady is coming in with it, I mean, obviously that's the most ridiculous scenario you could possibly imagine. But I don't think people would take too well to that. They really don't. I think they'd be much more against it than they'd be for it. And then they'd blame Mike Tomlin for something.
Absolutely. I'm sure they would. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Brady, best ever? All right. The NFLPA and the League Management Council have agreed to move the franchise tag deadline to Thursday, from Thursday to Monday. The vote's going to come in by midnight Saturday. Are you seeing, I mean, my guessing is it's not only going to be ratified, it's going to be ratified by a margin.
I could see either scenario. It's really hard to get a sense in terms of crowdsourcing for this, because it just seems like those who suggest it's going to go one way or another are just proponents of that side, whichever side they happen to be on. I
mentioned it. I don't care who wins. I don't care who wins.
I've got a ton of work to do either way. I know that. I've been spending plenty of time drawing up the battle plans on which way it'll be. But I really don't know. I think, if anything, we might draw something from the fact that the union elected J.T. Tedder of the Browns, who was a pro-signed CBA guy, as their president.
Yes.
And I didn't even realize there were third alternates to the union, but that's what he is with the Browns. Right. Quite the step up in leadership responsibility for him. Kind of like Ryan in The Office. He goes from temp to company CEO in a matter of like 6 months. But if that's any indication, and maybe there is something to that, you can't say for sure, but that's the only vote that we know about right now. It would seem there are going to be more players in favor of it than against it. And I think logically, and the owners are banking on this, the fact that the vast majority of the league is well under that $1 million threshold, rookies or otherwise, the CBA benefits those players. And
yes,
I think the owners know that, and they're counting on that. So it's going to get passed by the union, regardless of what's in it, because it's a lot more money for the majority of the people who are in there. The outspoken ones, the Aaron Rodgers, the J.J. Watts,
Russell Wilson,
they have legitimate beef. I mm-hmm. certainly think that there are problems with this. It's not a perfect deal for anybody.
I agree.
But sorry, Russell, there's you know, one of you, and there's probably 75 guys for every one of you.
But
so
then again,
you're really not in a great position.
But then again, in any negotiation, is there a perfect deal for both sides?
Yeah, and that's what's interesting, too, is the owners, I think they recognize, you know, how the back and forth works. If the owners aren't asking for anything else, the players don't have anything really to leverage. So they want 17 games, and that's pretty much all they want. They're going to raise minimum salaries. They're going to all but eliminate the functional purpose of a marijuana test. they're doing things in favor of the players that they wouldn't have sniffed 10 years ago in the previous CBA. So they are, in some context, giving up quite a bit to the players. And what they're asking for is 17 games.
Right.
Players can't say, well, we'll trade this out for that out, because the owners are saying, well, no, we want 17 games, and that's it.
They're not just asking for 17 games. They're asking for 17 games and have it signed now, so now they can go to the TV networks with 17 games and then get that part done. That's what they're asking for.
Which is something that I think the players should pay attention to. The players want to act as if that's a point of leverage. You're getting 48.5% of the revenue. You're not getting X revenue, okay?
Right.
So the more money that's coming in, your raised percentage gives you more money, okay?
Right.
The TV deal affects you as well.
Yep.
It affects you almost as much as it affects me.
Because you're getting 48. You're not getting 48.5% of a standard number. If the number goes way above that, you're getting 48.5% of that.
Right. So, and on top of that, you're not getting 47% anymore. So you are standing to look at a salary cap that could go up by 40% of what it is right now.
Right.
Your guys on the verge of free agency right now are well aware of that. That third year in their deal is going to be tremendously advantageous. They can sign on for a huge number in that year three. If they get to year three, which obviously it's not a guarantee, but most guys that sign kind of have a deal that's structured for three seasons with the team, they're going to have a massive salary in place. They can argue guaranteed money for that year. There are a lot of guys right now that are going to be impacted by this deal in a very positive way. So that's my pro CBA side of it. The downside of it being you're giving away a lot of rights that you have federally protected.
Yes, you do.
Under paragraph 32 of the CBA, the way that it's drawn up, they essentially are. The league is absolving themselves of responsibility for injuries above the neck. Which
yes,
is a really interesting way of putting it.
Yeah.
I guess that eliminates the ability to control app search for head injuries or anything like that. They can't find it same way. They're going to stumble across that eventually, and that certainly is eye opening. Because it's like, well, I'm not sure how you think that you're not going to be responsible for this, even if it's in the CBA. It's debatable at best if you're allowed to have that kind of provision, and whether or not the union signs off on it is another story. You can't go in front of a judge and say, well, they signed away their legal and ethical rights. No, you can't do that in all instances.
Right.
So it's something, though, the players certainly should be concerned about, and I get that. And again, the problem is you don't have anything to go back at them and say, we don't want this, so you take this off the board. We'll take this off the board. You get rid of this. No, all we want are 17 games. Keep it as is. We can get the most money from our TV deal right now, and we all move on. So a very circular argument in a lot of ways. But if I would say anything, I would say just from the amount of players that benefit the most financially, I think it's going to pass. But I think either way, it's going to be a very close vote. And I also don't think it's over. I mean, you had Russell Okung suing the union the other day. He withdrew his bid for the presidency yesterday, and along with he filed a legal injunction against the NFLPA in their involvement in the CBA. So I don't think legally it's even over yet with the vote.
Well,
so we might not have a deal anyway.
And there's the next part, too. Say the players vote no on it, which is certainly their right to do. There's a segment of owners, not enough, because obviously the vote by the owners was not unanimous on this. This was not a 32-0 vote. But what was it, 75%, two-thirds was needed to...
Two-thirds majority for the owners.
Yeah. Well, there's actually a segment of owners that are like, they don't like this at all. They want 18. They want 18 games. And there have been stories out there that there's a faction of owners that are mad at 17.
That doesn't surprise me at all. I think, 18 fits in line historically. They've done it before. 14 to 16, 12 to 14. I think it makes sense to have two more games added, along with the fact that, home and away. I mean, there's
exactly.
You're getting half from the gates.
Yeah, that part I get.
Revenue. It does make sense from that end. This is all hearsay. This is just my thoughts on it. It only makes sense that I think the owners are looking at this as one of two ways. One, you're the side that you just presented, which there definitely is, we can wait them out. We know we can wait them out. If all we want is 18 games, let's just sit and wait for it. They're going to go eventually. We're going to get something. If we have to eventually go down to 17, that's another matter. We can get more back from that. But we need to start at 18. I'm not moving off of 18. There's no point. I'm not voting for it. On the other side, it's the TV deal is right in front of us right now.
Exactly.
I get the feeling there is a monster deal that we're going to hear about.
Yes.
With this that's compelling at least two-thirds of the owners to want to get in on now. And I say that as, what about non-broadcast revenue, streaming, that kind of thing? The NFL has dipped their toes into that pool.
Yeah.
There might be a massive bid on the table for something, whatever that happens to be. Maybe it's in conjunction with the TV broadcast. I don't know, but you know that Amazon's got a lot of money and they have the technical capability, as we saw this year,
to
broadcast the game.
Seriously, I have a lot of Amazon boxes delivered to my house. Okay, so
there's literally one
that I know I didn't
house right now.
That I know I didn't purchase.
Where it came from? They just know that they're coming by every day.
Oh no, I know eventually where they came from and who put the order in. I just know Amazon shows up at the house a lot.
It was one of the 17 owners. They did it. There's got to be something within these negotiations that we don't know about right now that would compel the owners to go with an odd number, to go with an immediate take it or leave it kind of stance. They're doing that without really requesting anything else. That's almost the opposite of what they did the last time.
Yeah,
I really think there's something else here.
Well, you know what? I think they went with 17 because they thought they could win with 17. It might be on their part a gut feeling if they went with 18, as logical as the breakdown of 9 home versus 9 away is. 18 probably may have been a non-starter, and they can't get that TV deal done because you can't get the TV deal done without a CBA.
Yep, that's also a valid point. That's what's so interesting about this. There's so little actual news that's coming out. I think it's going to be if they do sign it, if they do vote to ratify it, and all this comes out over the coming weeks and months before heading into the season, I think we're going to find out a lot that we didn't know that's going to make a lot of this make sense. And to me, that'll be a great question to answer. Why 17? Why one game? Is it because you just wanted to win right now because you got the TV deal on the table? You might not want to have the next TV deal coincide with the expiration of the CBA. Maybe that's just me. I'm not a business major, but it doesn't seem like that was the best idea for the owners to have taken in. But then again, that's part of the problem with the lockout. Your value is going to go down considerably if you play next season without a future CBA.
Exactly.
What is NBC going to say this time next year? It's like, why don't you figure out your labor situation? I'm not going to waste a year signing on to you right now. I'm not, there's no value to me as a product right now.
Right.
So in the end, there's a lot of sense to that. This is what they could get done right now. We'll take away this other stuff. Who cares? We don't want to be blamed for head issues because we're like that in the NFL. Otherwise, same deal as last time. Take it or leave it.
Well, we don't do that with you. We don't do the take it or leave it deal. It's just not how we operate, especially with you.
It's much, much appreciated. I hope that courtesy does not extend to other guests. I want top guests.
No, dude, really. In fact, we can tell you you're a top guest. Now, the next guest we also might say the same thing to, but we don't want you listening to that part.
Just so you know, we don't mean it as much. Let's try that. Let's see if that works.
You're the best, Neil. Thanks so much, buddy.
17 games. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you.
We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Up your new car game in March with a new Kia for just $99 a month from Sunbury Motors Kia.
Wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
You heard right. Lease
lease a 2020 Kia Forte LXS for just $99 a month for only 36 months. With deals like this, you'll have to hurry in to get in under the buzzer. Sunbury Motors Kia also has up to $4,373 off on a 2020 Kia Optima LX, now just $2,262, and $4,271 off on a 2020 Kia Sportage LX SUV, now only $21,284. Everyone's a winner with Kia because all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Up your new car game in March with Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Lease term 36 months, 12,000 miles per year. $5,000 total to assign or equivalent trade. Tax and tags extra. Discounts include all applicable rebates. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
Okay, so the Ivy League has canceled both the men's and women's tournaments. I think they both were going to be at Harvard anyway. I noticed they didn't tell Princeton on the women's side or Yale on the men's side to not go to the NCAA tournament. I think they're okay with that. And by the way, they're going to any spring practices in the Ivy League are not allowed to resume, by the way, until April 5th. As of right now, that's where it is. Obviously, in Westchester County, where it's been a problem, there's certain areas where it's been a problem. Westchester County in New York's been a problem. Suburban Seattle, obviously, at that nursing home, huge problem. A couple spots in California, problem. There's that ship that's docked off the coast of California, I believe. And I know Governor Gavin Newsom and the president talked about that, and they agreed on everything as to how to handle it. So, I mean, you know, everybody put politics aside there. And we'll just wait. I know I'm going to Indianapolis tomorrow. Show will be in Indy tomorrow. We'll be there Thursday. And no offense, but I hope they're Friday as well. That'd be a good sign to do the show there on Friday. But they're not telling fans not to go. Look, I think just common sense, being smart about things, really helps. And then you make your decision as time goes. It's smart not to overreact either way. Just have a plan in place. And when it comes time and you think it's the right time to implement a plan if needed, then implement a plan. But I think, as you guys know, like I said to Matt when I began the show, I said, in the last 8 weeks, how many planes have I been on? In the last 8 weeks, how many hotels have I been in? In the last 8 weeks, how many arenas with thousands of people have I been in?